chapter 10, look in verse 17. And I'll read a few verses, you follow along with me. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth the slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As a whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll bless us as we look into your word. Once again, teach us and help us to use these things in our lives. Help us to learn some practical truths that can help us to draw closer to you in the days to come. Be better testimonies and better Christians. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe we... How many do you have so far that listed? You are number 15? 16. Okay, some of you had 15, some of you have 16. Whatever you have, just number the next one, whatever it is, okay? Whatever you're on next. If you're on 15, the next one is 16. If you're on 16, the next one is 17. I want to be a help to you. And what are some of the ones that you have so far? Well, let's just go through them very quickly. Number one, somebody tell me, number one. Honor your father and mother. Okay. Number two. Okay. Number three. Okay. Number four. Number five. Okay. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. What? Okay. Nine. Ten. Okay. 11. Okay, number 12. Okay, number 13. Okay. lost my track. Where are we now? Number 14. Okay, number 15. Number 16. Okay, so this is number 17 then. Whatever number it is, that's not the number I have, but that's what you got. That's what we're going to go with, amen? look in verse 17 anyway. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Every person will either, when they hear reproof, or hear instruction, makes a choice. Every person will either receive instruction or they will refuse instruction. By the way, that word instruction, there in the way of life that keepeth instruction, that's the same word instruction that we saw in the very beginning of Proverbs when we were going through those 10 purposes of Proverbs. Remember that word instruction means discipline. He that in the way of life that keepeth discipline or instruction. Instruction that disciplines. Or instruction that, it's also translated, reproof, or chastise. In other words, when you hear something that convicts you, or when you hear something that you're not doing you should be doing, or when you hear something that you shouldn't be doing that you are doing, how do you react to it? You'll either receive instruction, or chastisement, or reproof. If you're doing wrong and somebody reproves you for the wrong that you're doing, what do you do? Do you receive it or do you get mad? Now notice, here's what you should put down. Receiving instruction keeps you on the right path. Receiving instruction keeps you on the right path. Notice this, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. In other words, if you receive instruction or receive reproof, that's what keeps you on the right path, keeps you going the right direction. Everybody that receives reproof
and says, that's what I need. I need reproof. That keeps you going the right direction. Everybody that will ever mess up their lives, anybody that will ever miss the will of God for their life, anybody that falls into sin, that ruins their life or keeps them out of the will of God for their life, somewhere they refused reproof. Do you hear me? You will not miss God's will unless you refuse something that you heard from God's will. It is impossible. See, God wants me to live in His perfect will. God wants you to live in His perfect will. That's what God wants. God's not trying to do anything to keep you out of His will. Everything that God does, He does so that you can stay within His will. He's not trying to hide it from you. He doesn't want to make it hard for you. He doesn't want to keep you out of it. He wants you in His will. Therefore, as long as every time I hear reproof, or every time I hear instruction from the Word of God, if I will receive it every time, I never have to fear getting out of God's will. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? So many times we have folks that are fearful. Well, what if I do this? Or how can I know if I'm in the will of God? I'm scared of getting out of the will of God. You ought to be scared of getting out of the will of God. But I'll show you one way where you can never miss the will of God. Receive everything that comes from the Word of God. Receive every message that's preached from the Word of God. Receive every teaching that's given to you from the Word of God. But by the same token, if you reject any instruction or any reproof, you say, well, that's not for me. That's okay for somebody else, but that's not for me. Or that's just your interpretation. But you don't understand my circumstances. Look out. I'll even go farther than that. Did you ever wonder why you go down here on Thursday night, down here on 8th and Hannibal, on Thursday night and drive by there and look at the cars parked out there at the Kingdom Hall? Did you ever wonder how somebody could believe the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses? I just got a letter last, I think it was just last week, 6-page, handwritten, anonymous. And before I even read a letter, I always look to see who signed it first. I wasn't going to wade through that 6 pages of handwritten paper until I find out who wrote it first of all. And I always check that. I look at the postmark, and the postmark said Syracuse on it. And then I opened it up, and I read the first line. It was to me. The address, even had my name and everything on it. Somebody knew me that I don't know, evidently. And I read it. The very last thing, it was anonymous, but it did say this: one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So one of them, and the very first line, I read the name, or read Dear Pastor Elliot, and then read first line, said something, you are interested in the Word of God. I said, well, who is this? And I looked to see who wrote it. And one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Evidently, they're trying to straighten me out in some of my doctrines, evidently. And maybe somebody that would visit this church, I don't know. But can you imagine somebody that believes what they believe? Now, when they talk to you, everything they tell you sounds nice and sweet. But you study what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. They don't even believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus is a God among many gods. They believe there's many, many gods. And Jesus is one of those gods, of the many, many gods there is. They believe that there will only be 144,000 people in heaven. Now, who are they to say which is 144,000 and which are the ones that aren't going to heaven? My Bible never says anything about 144,000 people going to heaven. And who are they to just... There is more than 144,000 people in heaven before the Jehovah's Witnesses ever came on the scene. You just started going to heaven in 1878. Is that when they started going to heaven? And the next 144,000 after that that jumped in the JWs are on their way to heaven. Now that's foolishness. Now, how could anybody in their right mind believe something like that? How could they believe it? And they say they believe the Bible, and yet they can't. I'll tell you why there are people in the Jehovah's Witnesses right now. You want to know why? Somewhere they rejected truth. All they had to do was hear one time. Don't smoke. And they went ahead and smoked against the will of God. somewhere down the road, if they don't get that thing right, if they received it, if they receive reproof, they hear one time how to dress. It's a good one right there. How to dress. And they said, that's not for me. You can dress that way if you want to, but that's not for me. All you got to do is just reject one reproof. And somewhere down the road, you are believing philosophies different from the Word of God. You know one way to keep you from being in the Jehovah's Witnesses religion one day? Just receive everything you hear from the Word of God. Receive every bit of it. Do you ever think how folks got in the Mormon Church and believe the things they believe in the Mormon Church? Believe that Jesus was the brother of Satan? Where can they believe something like that? Believe in, believe in baptizing for the dead, and believe in marrying a whole bunch of different women, and I mean, just common sense tells you that's not true. And yet there are hundreds and thousands of people that believe that very thing. How can they believe it? I'll tell you how they believe it. Somewhere they heard the truth, or they heard reproof from the Word of God, and they rejected it. It doesn't have to be some big reproof. All it has to do is be one thing from the Word of God that you reject, and if you reject it, you'll be believing false philosophies before long. And that's exactly what it's teaching right there. I don't know about you, but I'm scared to death that one day I'll be down there with those JWs. I don't know about you, but I'm scared to death one day I'll be listening to the man's psychology. And one day I'll be preaching from this pulpit the psychology of man like every other preacher in America is doing. You know one way I can keep from doing that? When I get reproved by the Word of God, I receive it. Whatever the Word of God, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter how I feel, it only matters what the Word of God says. Doesn't matter how I interpret it, it matters what God says. And there are people all across America that are being dragged off into all kinds of wild philosophies because they rejected something from the Word of God. There are folks that used to go to this church right here, and there are probably some folks that still go to this church that have rejected some things preached from the Word of God, from this pulpit, and from what God says, and before you know it, they'll be out of church, believing all kinds of wild things, and believing they're doing right. Why do you think the people, they got the philosophies they've got today? Because somewhere they heard the truth, and they rejected it. Had a phone call just this week from a lady that was here Sunday night. Please, wild thing that basically just has bought the same thing that the devil's been preaching for years and years and years concerning music, concerning preaching, and believes things totally different from what we said right here in the pulpit just Sunday night. Why? Because somewhere in her life, she rejected the truth. You reject the truth, and before you know it, you'll be believing different than what the Bible says, and you'll be believing new philosophies also. Now that's exactly what the Bible's saying there. He that is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. In other words, the guy that's in the will of God is one that keeps the instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. The person that refused reproof gets off the way. The person that receives reproof stays in the way. The person that rejects reproof gets off the way. That means that every Christian that is out of the will of God somewhere rejected a truth from the Word of God. Every person, you don't just one day wake up out of the will of God. You somewhere rejected a reproof from the Word of God. That's why don't you ever take for granted the preaching from this church right here, as long as it's out of this book right here. As long as this book's being preached, as long as this preacher is preaching the Word of God, you better not walk out of here saying, well, that's for somebody else. You better say, what is God teaching me from the Word of God? What has the Holy Spirit of God got for me? Because if you start not listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, before you know it, you will be erring. It doesn't take much just to get one thought into you, one doubt, one bad thought. Before you know it, you're out of the will of God. And before you know it, you're out of church. You're out of doing the will of God. And even folks that pick up brand new... I believe there are some folks that actually got saved. Now, I don't think they can understand everything about the Jehovah's Witness Church. But there could be saved people over there that rejected the Word of God. Truth of the matter is, most folks, everybody that goes to hell is going to reject some truth from the Word of God. Every person. Every person that goes to hell will go to hell rejecting something from the Word of God. Every person that gets out of the will of God for their life gets out of the will of God rejecting something from the Word of God. Every Christian that gets out of the will of God for their life gets out of the will of God rejecting one thing from the Word of God. Everybody. Every Christian. If I were you, I'd be scared to death of rejecting anything from this book right here. Now, I'm not saying all of us know everything this book says. But when you find out what it says, you better start doing it. And you better start receiving it. Receive everything from the Word of God. He that refuseth reproof erreth. So receiving instruction keeps you on the right path. And I truly believe this. Every person that goes off on a false doctrine rejected some truth. They rejected some... Where did Jehovah's Witness begin with? Take old Rutherford himself. One day was sitting in a congregational church that preached hellfire and damnation and says, I don't believe it. And started the Jehovah's Witness church. Because he didn't believe one doctrine, one truth, and that there was a literal hell with literal fire. He said, I don't believe it. Started a whole new religion based on that one thing, that there was no hell, and now there are hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people all across the world that believe that same thing because one man got mad at one sermon and says, I don't believe in hell. And now a whole religion, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people will be in that hell that he didn't believe of. By the way, that's where he is right now. He didn't believe in hell until he died, but 5 seconds after he was dead, he believed in hell. And every person that doesn't believe in hell right now, 5 seconds after they're dead, they'll believe in hell. Receiving instruction keeps you on the right path. If there's one thing, if there's one proverb, if there's one truth, I'd like to get across to every person, it's that one right there. Receive reproof. Every time. Don't get mad at the preaching. Receive it. Look in verse 18. We'll go on to the next one. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Notice there's two different speaking here. He that lieth and brings slander. Look down in verse 20. We'll put that verse along with that. Verse 20 says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. Now notice, in verse 18 says, he that hideth hatred. Hiding something, they hide it by lying. Now in verse 20 it says, the tongue of the just is a choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is little worth. You ought to circle the two words in that verse, the tongue and the heart. The tongue and the heart. Back in verse 17 when it says, or verse 18 when it says, you're hiding something in your heart by speaking it with your lips. And then in verse 20 it says, the tongue of the just is a choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. What comes out of this mouth begins down here. What comes out here started down here. Here's what you can put down. Keeping your heart right will keep your tongue right. Keeping your heart right will keep your tongue right. The reason we don't speak like we ought to many times is because we don't have what down here what we ought to have. See, if my heart was right, if it didn't matter what you said to me, if I kept my heart right, I'm not going to say anything bad. That means if you may try to make me mad, or if you said things to me, if I kept my heart right, I wouldn't say anything bad. The problem is, many times we allow our heart, something wrong to get in our heart, and then we speak the wrong things. So as long as we can keep our heart right, we can keep our tongue right. The hardest thing in the world to tame is the tongue. The only way to tame the tongue is to begin right down here. Getting everything that is evil and wicked and wrong thoughts and evil communications, getting those things out of here. Make sure that everything that comes out of here is right and pure and keeping our tongue right. So it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, or he that hides what's in his heart, tries to hide it by saying some things. He that uttereth slander is a fool. So both he that hides, tries to cover up by with his lips, those are things that are in his heart, it begins down there. The slander, where to begin? Began down there. And what comes out of the tongue is associated with what's in the heart. Keeping your heart right will keep your tongue right. Okay, look in verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, there's a very unusual word in here. I like this verse because of one word that's very unusual. Yeah, the word wanteth. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I was surprised when I looked this word up. That word actually in the original, here's what that word means. Means to be flabby. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly the exact same words. Means to be flabby. It's the exact words out of the concordance. In the multitude of words, there to be flabby, not sin. In other words, what does flab do? I am covered with muscle. It's just hard to see the muscle because it's covered with flab. It was hard saying it, but I got it out. That was a tough one and very humbling. And so that's what flab does. Flab covers. In other words, here's exactly what that verse is saying. When we have sin, what do we try to do to cover that sin? We try to cover it with words, don't we? Many times when we know we've done wrong and we have sin, we try to cover that sin with words. But words cannot cover. That's exactly what it's saying there. Words cannot cover your sin. Matter of fact, you can just put that down. Words won't cover sin. Verse 19, words won't cover sin. And then when it says, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. When you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar, don't try to explain it away. He that refraineth his lips is wise. We can make every kind of excuse in the world for what we do, don't we? We do something, and we got every excuse for why we did what we did. The reason we did what we did is because we're sinners, and we ought to repent of the sin. That's why. The reason why we do what we do is because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, that's why. And we just got to admit it. Most of us don't like to humble ourselves and say, I'm just a wicked, dirty, rotten sinner. I need to repent of my sin every day of my life to try to live right and try to do what God has told me to do. And most of us do not want to humble ourselves to realize that we do what we do because we're just dirty, rotten sinners. That's all there is to it. And every day of our lives, we just need to humble ourselves and say, no sense in trying to fight my way out of it with words, try to talk my way out of it. And we can tell ourselves and justify our sin in every way. For instance, look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here's a good example of it. We try to justify our sin, try to talk our way out of. The truth of the matter is what we need to do is just fess up to our sin, repent. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you know the story about how God had come to Saul through Samuel. And God said, now Saul, I want you to go through and I want you to destroy completely off the face of the earth, destroy the Amalekites. Leave none of them alive, destroy every one of them. Matter of fact, destroy them from the oldest to the youngest, destroy the man, woman, child, beast, destroy everything off the face of the earth. Now, there's a reason behind that, but God told him to do it. Whether Saul understood it or not, God said do it, and man was to obey, or Saul was to obey what God said. So the commandment was clear. Everybody was to be destroyed, from the king down to the pauper. Every animal was to be destroyed, completely off the face of the earth. The Amalekites were to be destroyed. Now, Saul did not destroy everybody. He kept the king alive. He also kept many of the sheep alive and many of the cattle alive. Look in verse 13, but here's what Saul said. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, that's how most of us are, isn't it? We know we're just dirty, rotten sinners, but we walk around saying, boy, but I'm a good Christian preacher. We walk out of here saying, the preacher wasn't talking to me tonight because I'm a good Christian. We walk around in our lives in our piety saying, but preacher, I'm a good Christian. You should have seen me before. I don't care what you were before. You're still not a good Christian. What we still need to do is just keep working at being a good Christian. And most of us walk around thinking we're better than we really are. What we need to do is just learn how to depend on God every day of our life and just learn how to trust Him. And so we have in verse 13, he said, but I've done with the commandment of the Lord. And that's what we say. Preacher, I'm doing what God told me to do. If you're doing everything God told you, you're the only person that's ever done it. We just need to keep working at it, keep going to it, keep finding out what else God has said to do, and just keep adding to it. Just keep adding to what God has said to do, and just keep doing it. Look in verse 15. He found out that wasn't a good enough excuse, and he said in verse 15, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice on the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. That's always a good one, isn't it? After we've looked at ourselves and said, but I'm a good Christian, then we realize we've sinned, and we say, but they, it's their fault. Wasn't for them, everything would have been okay. We always try to blame our faults on somebody else. We always try to find somebody else to pass the buck to. Truth of the matter is, we're just sinners. We need to repent of our sin. Look in verse 20. He goes on to say, Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which they should have utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. What he just needed to say was, when he had sinned, he just needed to say, I have sinned. But he tried to talk his way out of it, but Samuel wouldn't buy it. And finally, in verse 24, you see, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Finally, he just came out and said, I've sinned. Problem was, it was too late. God says, Saul, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. A lot of times, don't get the idea you can just sin and live any way you want to, and anytime you want to, you come back to God and just come back picking up where you left off. Saul said, I've sinned. I know I did wrong. And God says, Saul, you can serve me, but you'll never be king again. Matter of fact, I'm going to take your life off the earth because of your sin. You might realize you sinned, but you're not going to get away with your sin. You can get forgiven, and Saul got forgiven, but he still lost the kingdom. And you can get forgiven for your sin also. The best thing to do is just receive God's word and not rebel against it, and just obey his commandments, obey what God has said. Words won't cover sin. Okay, look in verse 21. We've already gone over verse 20. Look in verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Those many of these verses right here, right in a row here, talk about the tongue or the lips again, the mouth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So in other words, the lips of the righteous feed or help many. You can just write this down. Use helpful words. Use helpful words. It's a very simple rule we learned back when we were children. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Use helpful words. So many times, what we say hurt rather than help somebody else. It's so easy to say a critical word. It's so easy to allow something to come out of our lip because we got mad about something or because somebody rubbed us the wrong way, and we allow something to come out of our lips that hurts somebody else. Pretty easy to be hurtful. It's a little tougher to be helpful in everything you say. When you say something to somebody, is that something that's going to be helpful to them, or is that something that's going to be hurtful to them? Use helpful words. Why anybody would want to just predetermined want to hurt somebody with their tongue is beyond me. We ought to be careful in how we speak. Use helpful words. And that's what it's saying right there. Look in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let's look at verse 23 with this also. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. And also in verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Verses 22 and 23, I'll just group those together with one thought. Notice in verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Doing right never has a bitter taste to it. You can just put this down. The Lord's fun has no sorrow that follows it. The Lord's fun has no sorrow that follows it. The world has their fun, but their fun isn't fun when they're done. You do something for God, and God's fun today will still be God's fun tomorrow. When you're living for God and you're doing things that are right and righteous to do, they'll still be fun tomorrow. You'll never have regrets for doing right. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that has gone out soul winning and led somebody to the Lord come back saying, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'll feel bad about that." Never have. I've never heard anybody late in their life say, "Man, I'm sorry I gave my life to the Lord. I'm sorry I lived my life for Him." Never. And you'll never hear somebody will do that. But you'll hear time and time again, you'll hear those that have done wrong, and after they've done it, they'll say, "I wish I hadn't have done it." Folks all across this room that got saved late in their life will say, "I wish I would have got saved younger." I've never heard anybody say, truly saved and right with God, say, "I'm glad I waited until I got saved." Everybody wishes they could have got saved earlier. "I wish I could have got saved at a younger age. I wish I could have been brought up to read the Bible and to study the Word of God. And I wish I wouldn't have picked up the habits I've picked up." How much easier it would be to live God's way just picking up God's habits to begin with. Take sometimes weeks, months, and years to get out of this mind what's been put in it over many years. And then it's never gone completely, never taken out. It just takes years and years to kind of purify it and get your minds on the right things in the Word of God. The Lord's fun has no sorrow that follows it. You ever think those that go out drinking the next day wake up with their hangover and feel awful, and then the next weekend they'll do it all over again? Doesn't make a bit of sense, does it? Go out and get drunk, wake up the next day and feel awful and be sick all day long, and then the next week just go out and do it again. "He that goeth forth with a fifth on the fourth goeth not forth on the fifth." "He that goeth forth with a fifth on the fourth goeth not forth on the fifth. He that goeth not forth with a fifth on the fourth goeth forth on the fifth." And that's, you'll never regret doing right. You'll always regret doing wrong. If there's one thing I could teach these young people, live to have no regrets. Your life will be a lot happier just doing what this book right here says, and one day not looking back over your life saying, "I wish it could have been done differently. I wish I had done this differently. I wish this wouldn't have happened in my life." Live today to have no regrets in the future. And look in verse 23. We'll go over that too. "It is sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." See, the fool thinks he's having fun in his mischief. The fool goes out and gets into his sin, and he thinks he's having fun. The truth of the matter is, there's the only true fun is doing what is right. That's what the true fun is. It says, "It's sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." Man of understanding, what he does when he's doing right, a wise man doing right, is thinks he's having fun. A fool doing wrong thinks he's having fun. But a wise man doing right thinks he's having fun. Doing right is recreation to a wise man, basically what we could say. Just doing right is more sport to the wise man. Mischief is sport to the fool. So the fool, he thinks he's having a great time ruining his life. But the wise man, he enjoys doing what's right. Now, a fool doesn't enjoy doing what's right. They say, "Man, you can have that soul winning. You can have that going to church. You can have that Bible reading." Now, to a fool, that's not fun. But to a wise man, there's enjoyment in doing what is right. Many times we're all foolish that we don't enjoy the right things. But a wise man will enjoy that which is right. To him, it's recreation to do right. The refreshing to do what's right to the wise man. Okay, we'll just put all that under the Lord's fun has no sorrow that follows it. Look in verse 24 now. the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But to the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now this is interesting here. The fear of the wicked says the wicked fear, and what they fear will be done to them. And the righteous man desires, and what he desires will be done to him. Now basically you can put this down, and this is probably not the best line, but it'll apply right here. You will get what you expect. Write it down, I'll explain it to you. You will get what you expect. Now, that doesn't mean if you expect $1 million, you're going to get it. Now, here's what it means. For instance, let me give you this as an illustration. Two different people come into this service. They'll have two different people here tonight. They'll have one person that'll come here, and they'll expect to get something that'll help them, something from the Lord. They'll expect to get something being here tonight. Somebody else will come, and they'll say, well, I'll go, but I know I'm not going to get anything. I'll go. You know what? The person that expected to get something, know what they got? They got something. The person that expected to get nothing, you know what they got? They got nothing. When we prepare ourselves to receive from God, we will get something from the Lord. We don't prepare ourselves, that's exactly what we're going to get. You come to church expecting to get something from the Lord, and you'll get something. You can go out of here with, you can bring a whole bushel basket in and walk out with a bushel basket full. If you brought a pint jar in, you'll go out with a pint jar full. You come in here with nothing, and you'll go out with nothing. You'll get what you expect. You can get whatever you want from the Lord. You'll get what you expect. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And then look in verse 25. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. I believe the key to that is the foundation. The wicked, when the whirlwind comes, when the wicked go through the whirlwind, they're blown off course. But the righteous, when the whirlwind comes, are a sure foundation. You can just put this down. A good foundation is important. A good foundation is important. Everybody will go through trials. All trials do is show what you're made out of, show what kind of foundation you got. Everybody's going to go through trials. It's what you see after the trial that's important. Are you still standing after the trial? Or are you passed away after the trial? Many Christians that come to church and serve the Lord go through a trial in their life and fall out of church and quit serving God because of some trial that came into their life. If you have a sure foundation when the trials come, you'll still be serving God when the trial's over. A sure foundation, or a foundation, a good foundation, is important. By the way, that's why it's important to have your young people in church. That's why it's important. Because that's where you're building the foundation right there. It's important to get the right kind of habits when you're young. When you get my age, or our age, it's a little tougher to break those habits, isn't it? It's a little tougher the older you get. Brother Warren, man, he knows this. Good night. When I get his age, I'll be set for eternity. And the older you get, the harder it is to change. Get the right habits when you're young. And the quicker you can get the right kind of habits, get the habit of going to church. Just get it down when you're young. Get it. That's why it's good to have your children in church every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So they'll just be in the habit of doing it, and when they get older, man, they'll just do it because it's habit. Whether they like it or not, they'll just do it because they're used to doing it. They just go to church. Get them in the habit. That's why, by the way, that's one of the reasons we have regular soul winning times every week. So you can be in the habit of doing it. You know how many folks here would go soul winning if we didn't have a regular time to go soul winning? None of us, including this preacher. None of us would. There's none of us that are running up and down, hardly waiting to go soul winning. None of us have the burden like we ought to. If we didn't have regular soul winning times around here, none of us would go soul winning. We might go for a while, but eventually we're not going to be going. What we'll do is we'll go different times of the week, and we'll do our soul winning. But before you know it, we're done. We're not going to do any soul winning at all. And that's why we have regular times, and that's why we say be here at regular times. Because without that, you're just like this preacher is. You wouldn't be going either. None of us would go unless we set regular times to go. A good foundation is important. Well, let's finish there this evening, and let's pray. Lord, bless now tonight. I pray you'll bless this Bible study we've had. I pray it'll help us to draw closer to you and be better Christians in the days to come. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.